Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Up she did all my friends that come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do bad. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. We got a lot going on tonight. Hope you had a good weekend. Real quickly, I went to No Sleep Till on Saturday. I went to Brooklyn, and I saw the Nets double overtime loss to the Pelicans. Great event, to be honest with you, because, so, I mean, the Pelicans are up 28, right? And Rondo and Brow already have, like, Rondo had a triple-double. Brow had 44 and 17. So by halftime, they're up 20, right, at a high of 28. So the second half, it was literally the comeback, really, of the ages story. So I'm sitting here watching this game, and they're just draining threes one after the next to get back into this game. But, you know, they were still gonna giving up buckets, right? So it was like an entire battle for the third and fourth quarter to get back to a last shot, right? And then Crab hit it with no time left, and they went to overtime. They led multiple times in overtime, but still blew it and ended up going to double overtime and losing by 10. But I got to tell you, first of all, the crowd was raucous because the game was so crazy. And then I thought Rondo was just unbelievable watching him just absolutely doing the Nets with all kinds of no-look passes and plays. He just makes plays happen. The guy's just still got it for sure. He may not get along with coaches, other players, media, whatever, but he can flat-out ball. That's just all there is to it. And then watching Brow, Anthony Davis, just hang on the rim. He had six block shots, too, I think, in the game. I saw it all, right, in this game. I saw everything, you can imagine. Russell played. He had like, I don't know, 16 or 18 points. He doesn't even start, like one of the star players. Now, he was back from injury, so they limit his minutes, right? But he wasn't even in the first overtime. They barely put him in. And I was, like, amazed at some of the stuff I was watching Atkinson do as a coach. But I had a good time. My kids had a good time. It was amazing to see a double overtime NBA game live in person, right? So, and then I brought 34C and the Young Gun and Chop up to the studios here to see the plush digs here at WFAN and CBS Sports Radio. Very plush, as you know, Carver High.
Did you go to Broccolino's?
No, could not get a table at Broccolino's. I went to Giordano's right over here on Spring. I couldn't.
It was that packed, huh? Broccolino's was
2.5 hour wait.
Wow.
Couldn't get in. I tried all day to get in.
Game night, yeah.
Couldn't get a table. The best
not
they
even
have,
after, huh?
They had a two top available at 10.
It's not 10.
Not going to do me any good.
If you would have known it was going double overtime, it might have helped you.
Well, I walked into Giordano's and got a table right away and ate there. It was good. So I've eaten there before with my agent. And other friends. I've eaten in that place a few times. It's decent. I think the waitress was scared of me because of my voice and because I ordered three double espressos in a matter of 30 minutes. Mafia knows I can drink like 10 of them and still function as a man. Also, that was it. I went to this game. And then Mafia hung out yesterday at the Ferrella Palatial all day. Did you like the brisket dinner and the Cavs blowout of the Celtics?
Brisket dinner was delicious. I was surprised by the Cavs, man. Getting all those new pieces together, playing them for the first time. You figured there was going to be a feeling out process, but they just destroyed Boston in Boston on Paul Pierce Day.
I wasn't surprised. They're going back to the finals.
So that now it's just a locked-in, done deal.
Finished.
All right.
That dude's focused now. He's got all these new guys around
new
him.
New pieces.
Loves it. They put the thumping on the Celtics yesterday. They're going to go back to the finals.
Did you watch the game? Could you believe it?
I watched a little bit of it. I couldn't believe it. It was great.
And then what, you watched the Flames Islanders?
Well, yeah, I definitely watched that.
That didn't go well.
Third period sure didn't.
All right, Damian Cox will join us from The Fan in Toronto. He does afternoons. We'll talk about all the success they're having with the Leafs and the Raptors this year. The Raptors, I believe, over the weekend took over the East lead. They did, by a half game over the Celtics. So there they are with two less losses than the Celtics, one less win than the Celtics. But they've won five straight and 8 of 10. We'll talk about the Raptors. And the Leafs have been tearing it up as well. Tonight, they had a big win over the Lightning, 4-3 at the ACC up there. Nylander scores twice for Toronto. Van Riemsdyk also is 23rd, a big season for him this year as well. Kucherov is 30th for the Lightning the other way. Coyotes are stunning the Blackhawks right now in Phoenix, 2-0. I mean, the Chicago Blackhawks are officially done. They are done. Lose to Arizona, you're done, right? That's it. Season over. Panthers and Oilers are in the second, tied at ones. That is the only NHL activity tonight. As far as the NBA, I watched the Knicks. They suck so bad. I can't even take it. Watching them is like having the flu. I mean, honestly, they're so awful. Oh, my God, are they awful. And Moutier, he's awful, too. Welcome to the club, dude. They're going to drag you down to their level.
Hardaway had a good night, too.
Well, I saw him.
I think he was 0 for 8 from 3 or something like that. And after the game, he was saying, I couldn't hit a Ferrellin shot.
Yeah. Over 8 from 3. I was going to say, Tim Brickaway Jr. is what I call him. He shoots bricks like no one I've ever seen.
But don't you like...
He's terrible.
If you're a Knicks fan, don't you want him to lose at this point? Like, Porzingis is done for the year.
I want him to cover.
Don't you want to get in the top 5?
How about cover?
All right. Well, that's different. I'm just saying in terms of on the court
stuff. Think they'll win a game. So far, they haven't.
No.
Aren't they like 0-7 since all this happened? I don't think they've played that many games. They had already lost 4 before he got injured, right? So they lost to Philly 108-92. And as usual, Sarich 24, Embiid 17. And just so you know, Embiid wasn't even trying in the game. I just thought I'd let you know that. He wasn't even trying, and he had 17-6. He didn't even run. He never once sweat in the game. He had a complete dry body when the game was in the middle of the game and at the end of the game. He never once ran or sweat. It's embarrassing watching the Knicks. It really is. I watch the games. I'm like, oh, my God. I tell my son, don't be like them. Whatever you do, don't be like them. Clippers all over the Nets, 114-101 at the Barclays tonight. Glad I didn't go to that one. Crab had 15, didn't matter. Jordan had 16, 17 boards for the Clippers. Pelicans win in Detroit, 118-103. Brow, 38-10-1. Jazz lead the Spurs, 54-48 at the half. Bulls up 2 on the Magic with 12 seconds left in Chicago. Jerry Palm at 11 Eastern, 8 Vegas strong time to talk about the bracketology so far of the NCAAs. The selection committee released its top 16 seeds as we sit 1 month from selection Sunday from right now. Virginia, Villanova, Xavier, Purdue would be the 4 number ones right now. Will this group look different on selection Sunday? Probably. LeBron says the Cavs' focus was at an all-time high after their blowout win over the Celtics. George Hill, Ronnie Hood, Clarkson, Nance all made contributions. They all went off in that game. In one, maybe the dumbest thing LeVar Ball has ever said, he says Lonzo will not re-sign with the Lakers unless his two brothers are signed, and he will tell teams looking to sign Lonzo they must take his brothers. At what point does Lonzo tell his dad to get lost? No one's going to sign those other two. He must be, well, I don't even have to say must be. He is nuts.
He really is crazy.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
And what he's going to do is cost his boy a lot of money. That's what he's going to do. It's going to cost Lonzo, who can actually play, a lot of money.
the Colts rebound from losing Josh McDaniels and hire Frank Reich as their new head coach, considering where they were a week ago, is that a good hire for the Colts? I say it's not too shabby. Not a bad move at the end of the day. Most people thought they were going to hire Dan Campbell, as was reported by ESPN for a few days, that Schefter was saying that Dan Campbell was a shoe-in for the job. He'd tell anyone that would listen. And then Frank Reich got the job. So there you go. Not bad for Frank Reich standing on the sideline, winning a Super Bowl ring, and then getting a head coaching gig and all that money that McDaniels blew off.
I'll always love Frank Reich. I wish he was somewhere else because I can't stand the Colts, but I'll always love Frank Reich.
Right. He was a Bill.
Well, he had the big 35-3 comeback right against the Oilers in the 93 playoff game.
So he's like a legend there.
Legend in Buffalo. Everybody right wanted him to get the job last year before McDermott got hired.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I watched that game as we were talking about the Cavs-Celtics on Sunday, and I couldn't believe what I was watching, right? I mean, it didn't even look like them. It was crazy, right? It looked like the old Cavs that had gone to three straight finals, right? They looked fantastic. George Hill defending at the perimeter and getting to the hole, scoring. I mean, Clarkson jacking threes and driving and scoring. Nance dunking. I mean, I was just sitting here watching this game, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. It wasn't even them. It was like they blew them out, 121-99. I'm sitting there watching. LeBron almost has the triple-double. He had 24, 8, and 10. He went off. The kid Osman went off, the Turkish kid. He had 12. They got him playing massive minutes now. Tristan Thompson looked good for once. Hill ended up with 12. Joe Smith played better. He had three threes. He had 15. Nance had 5, 4 boards, 3 assists, and a steal. Clarkson had 17, 3 of 4 from downtown. 3 rebounds, a dime, 2 steals. Hood had 15 points. He's another new guy, Rodney Hood. He was 6 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 6 from downtown. So all those new guys, basically, I mean, Nance only had 5, but he had, you know, a big dunk. And he was grabbing boards. He was defending. They just looked different. They shot 53% from the floor, 53% from downtown, which was impressive. And they held Boston to 26% from downtown and 40% from the floor. So, and then on the Celtics side, Kyrie had 18, but that was, you know, I'll take that every day if I can hold that guy to 18 points. That's beautiful. Rozier had a better game. He had 21. Morris had 17, but nobody else did anything to speak of. Horford only had 9. He went 9, 6, and 6, but he did have a steal and 2 blocks. But they just did not look good at all. And then they had their Paul Pierce celebration after the game. Then who was it that said that? Robert Parrish? Is he the one that said that Paul Pierce is the greatest offensive player in Celtic history? He must be drunk when he said that.
Why'd they do that after the game?
I don't know why they did it after the game, but I guess because the people there are so loyal to the Celtics, I think they stayed for it. Most people would leave,
they
right?
They were going to stay. I mean, they had to stay because it was after, but they were getting just destroyed. Teams do that stuff before the game. Like, get in your seats 30 minutes before the game. We're going to have the poll, do they think there'll be less people, I guess, then? They want more people there?
At the end?
After? I mean, I never get the point of, there was a lot of sad faces in the crowd as they kept showing those guys who played with, Pierce. I mean, they had Garnett over there.
Right.
Doc was there, too, I believe. Just all
Rondo
the,
made
all
it.
The
only one that didn't make it was Ray Allen.
Yeah, he was busy playing with George Lopez, playing golf with him.
Yeah,
he made sure to put an Instagram out that he was hanging out with George Lopez as they're doing the Paul Pierce thing.
Ray wanted nothing to do with
that. No one cares that Ray Allen's golfing. They only care that he blew off his teammate. So that obviously is still chilly. That relationship is still chilly. But there is no way on God's green earth that that guy was better than Larry Bird, okay? Or Bill Russell, right? I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, even Havlicek, right? I mean, honestly, I'm starting to go down the list of people that were better than him. You can't seriously put him as the best Celtic ever. That's insanity, isn't it? I'll give him the retirement of the jersey. That's it. That's it. I mean, come on. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, he was a great player for them. Did a lot. Stuck with the team when they sucked. You know, he could have left.
McHale was better.
Brought them a title for after a long drought. But, yeah, like you said, there's no way you're putting him above Russell or Bird. No way.
No way. Not even worth discussing. I won't even listen to it. I won't even hear it. I'm not going to have it. Not on this watch. But I was sitting there watching it. I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was hearing, that he was the best ever. Like, you must be high. You got to be drunk. So whatever. I get it. It was his big day, so you're saying nice things. But calm down. Seriously. Anyway, so do you think, and you said before, you believe that they're going now to the finals because of that change?
Yeah, I finally.
You still don't think that Toronto and Boston could give them problems?
No,
LeBron, or was yesterday all you needed to know?
If LeBron has a complement of players around him that he's going to trust, and he'll take care of business. He'll be fine. These guys were old. These guys that were with him, they weren't getting it done, and you could see how it was driving him crazy. He was saying crazy things. He was acting kind of silly. He's got these new guys in now. He's going to refocus, and all he needs is a couple guys to pick up a little bit of slack, and he'll do it on his own. He'll get them back to the finals.
And then Love will fit right back in like a glove.
Exactly. He's got confidence in Love. He's not the one who did the stuff with Love with the "Are you sick?" in the locker room after. That guy's gone now.
Did you think that they like ESPN overplayed the Thomas start in Los Angeles?
What don't they overplay?
I mean, you would have thought they won the NBA championship the way they covered his first game, his 22 points for the Lakers in his first game. Meanwhile, they lost the game. By the way, they failed to mention that all night when they were showing all of his highlights. Is there anything worse than showing highlights of some dude that has a big game that loses? Seriously. I mean, what do they say, Mafia? You can have all the stats in the world, but if you lose, you ain't Shaq.
Right. The only one that matters is the W or the L. Doesn't matter what you put up. If your team didn't win, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But they showed him like he was God's gift to the world. Isaiah Thomas, his big game, hit his first shot. ESPN covered it like it was the NBA Finals. I mean, they really did. They overcooked that. Meanwhile, they didn't even win the game.
Right, they gave him all sorts of attention. Great, he had a big game again, but he's still on a losing team just jacking up shots, so it doesn't matter.
And then weren't they doing some other thing with him about, like, making fun of?
Well, he liked the video. Someone put up an Instagram video of Kyrie shaking down LeBron in the game yesterday, and he liked it.
Shaking him down and getting his ass beat by LeBron.
Well, yeah, after that, then LeBron lit him up. So it didn't matter if he had one good play against him. LeBron lit him up the rest
of the game. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. We all know Kyrie Irving can do whatever he wants on the floor. He's a great ISO scorer. But don't even try to tell me that that guy can stop LeBron James from doing whatever he wants. I mean, LeBron James will dunk in his face as quickly as you can say dunk. I mean, he will throw it in his face every single time. You can't stop that train. That's a freight train coming in there at 6'8", whatever he is, 260. Are you kidding me? That guy's, please, Kyrie Irving. By the way, his new movie, they're saying, is coming out, Carver High. The very excited, the Uncle Drew movie.
You got to be kidding me.
I mean, June 29th, a movie about Uncle Drew in the hood.
Did we need a movie?
Do you think Blackjack will be in that movie?
Maybe.
There's potential for that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So no one hits more winners than PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's just that simple. What a deal. You get every pick, every sport, every game, every day. Let's check out this week's action. Tomorrow night in the NBA, Houston and Minnesota is going to be good. So is Cleveland at OKC. College Rack Tuesday night, Virginia at Miami, and Oklahoma at Texas Tech. hockey, Ottawa at Pittsburgh and New Jersey's in Philly tomorrow night. Don't forget Saturday on Showtime, Danny Garcia against Brandon Rios. We give you MMA, daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Sign up today. You won't regret it. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Damian Cox does afternoons on The Great Fan in Toronto. And we thought we'd bring him in tonight on the bench to talk about all the success that the Raptors and Leafs are having these days. Damian, my man, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. It's a cold winter in Toronto, but I tell you, it's a lot better than the winters of a few years ago when all we had were losers in this town, and all of a sudden it seems like all we've got are winners. It's a nice change.
Yeah, I've been up there a million times, as you know, for games, and you're right. It's a lot better. I don't care if I go to the hockey game and I'm freezing my ass off if they're winning. And the fans up there, I've always said on this show over the years, I really believe this, Damian. I believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs have to win a Stanley Cup for that city, for those fans, because the fact that they haven't won since 67, not that you need to know that, but you already do, and it's painful. Like, there is no way on God's earth that the Toronto Maple Leafs should go that long without winning a Stanley Cup. It's just insanity. They need to do it for their fans. They deserve it.
Well, I mean, and, you know, you don't have to look too far from, you know, places like Cleveland to know, the Browns and the Indians or, you know, in different, you know, to know, you know, these droughts go on in different cities, but not too often with one where the sport's identified with the city so much. I mean, this is a hockey city. The last time they won a cup, they won four in a decade. But it has been a long drought, a long, long, long drought, and a lot of awful hockey with only a couple of years, really, five or six in there where they were anything close to a contender. Well, they got a really good young hockey team now and with some exceptional young players. And you know what? I kind of agree with you. I think these people have hung in there and hung in there and hung in there. We're talking for decades now, and they've now got some special guys playing for this team and a team that could break team records this year for wins and points. So nice for Leaf fans. They've certainly waited.
So tonight they had a big win. Matthews had three assists. Nylander had a couple of goals. Nice, this is a prove-it game for them, if you ask me. You know, you beat the Pittsburghs, you beat the Tampa Bays of the East, and they mean business, those teams. This shows me a lot of that they're no joke. I mean, we already knew that they were 33 wins going in, but this was, I think, big for them to beat a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's the best team in the league, and it's not that different from last week when the Celtics came in as the best team in the East and the Raptors beat them. So I agree with you. I mean, I think games like that are statement games. It says, like, we belong. You know, we can compete with the very best. Now, when the playoffs start, that can be a whole different deal. And we also know that there's likely to be changes to these hockey clubs anyways before the trade deadline later this month, and that could change things as well. But when you prove you can play with the best team in the league like they did tonight, people are going to, you know, stand up and take notice just like they are of the Raptors these days. So it's, like I say, it's kind of funny. Feeling a bit spoiled here lately. And, I mean, it was only, what, 6 or 7 years ago, I think, that ESPN magazine voted, said Toronto was the worst sports city in North America. I didn't really believe it then, but we were suffering with loser after loser in the town. So not only do these teams, you know what's really great too, is not only are they good teams, they're really likable teams. And I think you know what I mean. When there's teams, yeah, you get teams in a town that win or do well, but you don't like the team and you don't like the players necessarily. That's not the case. So after a lot of suffering, there's some enjoyment of winter sports going on in this town.
Well, Damian Cox does afternoons on the Fan 590 in Toronto. So do they? I'm assuming then by what you just said that they love Matthews. What do they think of this love affair here a couple years into it? That, and he's got such tremendous vision and skill and great hands, and he can do it all. What do they think of him? Is he adored there in Toronto already?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question, actually. I guess so. I mean, first of all, he's viewed as a godsend. They finally got the number one pick in a year where the number one pick was a franchise player. He will probably go down eventually, based on what I'm seeing, as the best player they've ever drafted. And that's in the drafts been going on since 67. So the best player they've ever drafted. He is a unique elite talent, and he is one of those guys, few guys there are, when he gets the puck, there's anticipation, and then when he does what he does, scoring or whatever, there is just a wow factor to him. And there aren't many guys in the league that have that. You know, Connor McDavid over in Edmonton, and some guys like that, but not many. And, you know, the guy's story is pretty spectacular. I mean, he's from freaking Arizona. I mean, who thought they were going to grow hockey players in Arizona?
Crazy.
And he'd become the best player of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, that's kind of the way the NHL is now, and that's who this kid is.
It's crazy, right? Like, they can barely keep the team there. Somehow they've hung on by, like, a cactus. Somehow they've kept that team there. But you guys are hot, 8 of 9. It's impressive to see what they're doing. There's no doubt about it, and he's done it all. 26 goals. His plus-minus is 24. He's crazy talented. I like seeing what I'm seeing up there. I can't wait to see him. A lot of people said on this show recently, because we're on in Boston as well, that they'd like to see that playoff series, Boston and the Leafs. Yeah. Would you like to see that?
Oh, I think we would. I mean, the last time they played in 2013, it was special but miserable for Leaf fans. They had a 4-1 lead with less than 10 minutes left in game 7 and lost the game and lost the series. So they'd like another crack at. I also think it'd be interesting because then you'd have Matthews getting a lot of shifts going up against Zdeno Chara, who despite his age is still 6'9" and a heck of a hockey player. So you'd get that matchup. And I think, you know, two great hockey cities. I was happy to be there when they played a few years ago, and it, you know, created a tremendous vibe. There's a lot of history between those cities in hockey, and it would be great to see it again.
So Damian Cox with us. Let's talk about the Raptors. In the midst of all the, you know, constant coverage of the Cavaliers, which is never-ending, it's nauseating, where it never stops. They show them on national television here all the time, like every night, and they talk about them all day, every day on all these television networks and people on the radio as well. And meanwhile, Toronto and Boston have been the teams to watch, even though, you know, I think Embiid's exciting and Simmons together, those two in Philadelphia, they're very exciting to watch them play, but they're not as good as that team in Toronto. How much does it offend you guys that no one gives the Raptors any love at all? Meanwhile, they have the best record in the East now.
Well, I don't get offended by that. I mean, that's just, people are going to say or talk about whatever they want to say or talk about. And I mean, we don't, you know, up here, we don't get all that stuff where everybody's talking about Cleveland, and there's a lot of conversation about Toronto. So I think, too, I mean, they don't have a star like LeBron or Steph Curry. You know, they've got really good players and a lot of depth. So those kinds of teams don't tend to be glamorous. I think the interesting thing about them is, to a lot of people, there was a feeling that the Raptors might take a step back this year. And that they might, you know, fall back in the East. Well, that's been anything but the case. In fact, they're on pace to set team records for wins and points as well. So, I mean, they're a really good team to watch. They're a team that shares the ball. They're a team that has been really consistent as the season's gone on. Are they as glamorous as some of the other teams? Probably not. But you know what? If you win in the playoffs, that's the real glamour, and that's what they got to do, and they haven't been able to do it until now, and this will be their chance coming up.
So those two games that they played recently with the Timberwolves, I think, shows a lot of who they are. They lost to them there by, like, 6, and then they came back and beat them up there at the ACC by 5. Do you remember those games? I think it shows you a lot of really who they are, that they were able to – I mean, both games are really tight. One of them's on the road. You're not going to get a few calls. You're going to drop it by 6, no problem. But to turn around and beat them again in the same matchup, same two teams on your home floor, same kind of game, what did you see when you saw them play that team? Because that's a really good team that they beat.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, you know, Minnesota's got a lot of star power now concentrated in their starters with Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns. So that's where their power. And I mean, where the Raptors, they have I mean, their second group, their second five players now have been outscoring their first group in the past couple of weeks, and that's how they're beating teams. You know, they'll start with DeRozan and Lowry and Valanciunas, and then after a while they go to Jakob Poeltl and Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, hardly household names around the NBA guys, and these guys are ripping it up. And I think A, they're catching teams by surprise, and B, they're showing they've got a bit more depth. They can go. These guys are going 10 deep, and there aren't a lot of NBA teams that go 10 deep every night after night after night. That's how they beat the Timberwolves in that game. And if they have success in the playoffs, that's how they're going to do it.
I got 1 minute respectfully, Damian. What did you guys think of the Blue Jays going to retire Holiday's number at the beginning of the season there?
Well, he's incredibly popular up here. And, it was a sad day when the tragedy happens. And, look, I think there's a lot of circumstances to what happened that people can – look at and everything. But the fact remains is he's probably the greatest pitcher ever in the history of the Blue Jays. And he was, before he left and after he left, incredibly popular up here. Teams retire numbers for a lot of numbers. I think they're retiring Roy Halladay because he was a great player and a great citizen while we were here. And it's terrible the way his life ended.
Yeah, no doubt. Damian, great stuff tonight. Appreciate you coming on the bench and keep rocking it up on the Fan. Great station up in Toronto.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, Damian Cox does afternoons on the Fan in Toronto with a CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Carver, hi. How do you feel about them retiring Holiday's number? Does none of that faze you at all of how he died and everything and his drug test and all that?
I think he hit it the nail on the head. He's the best pitcher in the history of that franchise. So
just give it to him.
I got no problem with it.
Mafia, you got a problem with that? That they the way his blood screen came back after that plane wreck?
You know, it's easy to kind of look at it in kind of the same light that we talked about with Jose Fernandez when he died for the Marlins, and they wanted to build him a statue and give him all these accolades that, you know, you didn't die with the greatest causes around your death. There was, some questionable things that you were doing, whether your actions, the way Holiday was flying, this toxic screen coming back with these things in his blood. But in the end, I mean, that guy was there for, a decade. I mean, it's not like Fernandez where he was just there for a couple of years. Holiday was a dominant, badass for them.
Do you believe that guy deserves a statue in Miami?
No, absolutely not.
No.
But Holiday, I'll give him a jersey.
But they're giving him one. I guess I can live with the jersey retirement. Is Jeter going to change that? He's not going to do it?
I'll check.
Jeter hired some guy from the Warriors to run the business operations for the Marlins. He's changed everything else. He might have changed that too. All right, coming up, Jerry Palm, our CBS Sports bracketologist on the bench.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.